Parshas Pekudei ends the very, very successful first Jewish attempt at fundraising. First successful Jewish fundraising attempt. And they got all the items they needed. There's enough. There's over. And they have, Baruch Hashem, built something that Kodesh Baruch Hu is willing and happy to rest his Shechina in. And then Parshas Pekudei, they start reckoning out the exact materials that were used. And there's quite an interesting diyukim over here in the pasuk. The parsha begins, Eidei Pekudei HaMishkan, these are the countings, the reckonings. And then it says the next pasuk, Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur. Yeah? Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur. Yeah, Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur. So who is Chur? So Rashi says he is the son of Miriam. One second, bear with me a second.
He got killed.
That's correct. And this pasuk is actually a very similar pasuk you have in Parshas Vayakel, in Perek Lamedvav pasuk Lamed. Vayomer Moshe ben Yisrael. Moshe said to ben Yisrael, Ru'u, see. Kara Hashem. Hashem is called B'shem B'tzal ben Uri ben Chur l'mati Yehuda. This is a very similar pasuk you have in Vayakel, and the same pasuk is repeated in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei. So Rashi brings Chur. Who's Chur? B'no shel Miriam hayo. Chur was the child of Miriam. So the Balim Musa asks, what is the idea behind where it says, Vayim Moshe ben Yisrael, Ru'u, see? What are they supposed to see? What are they supposed to see? Ru'u, see, Kor Hashem. What's a see? What does a Ru'u mean? The Medrash asks, what's this Ru'u? What are you supposed to see? And why go into the detail? Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur. Betzalel ben Uri, how many times he had this generation ben Chur? Yeah? Lamati Yehuda, it goes back. And Rashi throws in as well, Benosh and Miriam. Just in case, don't know. Very nice, lovely. Oh, what's a piece of information here? What's going on over here? So, there's a Gevaldige story. And this story, I believe, answers beautifully, and it fits in very, very beautifully with the Medrash. The Medrash brings down, what's Ru'u? The Medrash brings down, what does it mean, Ru'u? And the Medrash says, Ru'u means that see the story, what went on behind this story. Now let's first bring this story and you'll see how this fits into this. There was a man who was going through who went through the camps. His name was Valas. He went through the camps. And he had a very, very, very difficult time. A very, very, very difficult time. And it came to a stage where the Nazis were being even more cruel because they knew the war's over. And whatever they don't get rid of now, they've got rid of. And whatever they don't will only stand against them to point a finger at them later on and persecute them and catch them in these, you know, wherever they hide. So they did terrible things and they escalated their cruelty in ways that were unimaginable. There was one man who was an El Chiyid and they took him in the front of the whole camp and they put a gun to his head. And his people were starving. They were starving. There was the food, the rations, it was terrible. And they put a gun to his head and said, eat this piece of pig or we'll kill you. And he said, I refuse. He said, eat this piece of pig. I'm telling you, you're going to be liberated in a few days. You might as well. Come on. I refuse. It's a Chil Hashem. I'm going to do it. And it took him and they shot him. And he lay there, a bleeding mass. A Chil Hashem, Godel. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu can allow his chosen nation for that to happen. A terrible Chil Hashem. Fast forward. It was a Chil Hashem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed. The Am Nivchar. The hest upon him is a Chil Hashem. What he did was a Kiddush Hashem. What he did was an incredible Kiddush Hashem. But the Chil Hashem Shaboy of the actual story, what happened, that a Jew can be killed and completely disregarded by Kodesh Baruch Hu and allowed to just be killed, that is a Chil Hashem in the eyes of the Goyim. Yeah, and as far as the hest upon him is concerned, or the darkness of not seeing a Kodesh Baruch Hu and not seeing the glory of Klal Yisrael. Yeah?
6 million cases.
Absolutely. But this was exactly, each one is a tragedy within itself. Fast forward many, many years later, there was a young man, and this young man was standing outside a restaurant that had a delicatesse that was selling white meat, in inverted commas. White meat is what you call pig's meat here in Israel. Yeah? They call it basalavan. Because Ali Hassan, a restaurant in Tel Aviv, is called the White Elephant. There's a place, I don't know if it's still there, it's called the White Elephant. And they're selling basalavan. He's standing there with
his... probably more places now.
Unfortunately. Yeah, and he's standing there, and it's a boiling heat, and he's standing there on his Shabbos morning with his car, you know, car parked up outside, and he's standing there in a long line waiting for the pig's meat. And he thinks to himself, is this really worth it? Is it really worth it? And he remembers a story that that people told him about his grandfather. That it was his grandfather that many years back had been in the camps and had witnessed the scene that he was forced by gunpoint to eat a piece of pig, and he refused and he dies in Kiddush Hashem. And this young man said, if my grandfather can die on Kiddush Hashem for not eating meat, I've got to stand up in the queue in a boiling heat to get that very same pig that he refused. And he made Cheshbon Nefesh. And today, he's one of the heads of Arachim. His name is Rav Valas. He's one of the heads of Arachim. And today, Baruch Hashem, through that Maisa, through that mysterious Nefesh, that his grandfather, he did not imagine in a million years that this would instigate and this would be able to bring back his grandchild after so many years, and that he should be the one that should propagate Klal Yisrael's, that propagate the Kvod Shemaim in the world done through this Maisa. The Medrash says, Chor, with the 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60, when they saw the action of that was going on with the eagle, it was horrific, it was a disaster, and nobody stood up and said, stop, you're crazy, this is mad, besides one person called Chor. Says the Medrash, and what they do, they killed him. They killed him on the spot, they killed him. And he died, and Chil Hashem, that it can allow a person who stands up for Kvod Shemaim, he could just be killed like that. Says a Pasuk, Vayoyimim Moshe b'nei Yisrael, Re'u, have a look. HaKadosh Baruch says, have a look. Just investigate the situation, investigate history, and you'll see. Kora Hashem Hashem Mitzal ben Uri ben Chur. I promise you, says a Medrash, that because of this Mice of Mesiris Nefesh, this act of dedication to Kodesh Baruch Hu, no act of Mesiris Nefesh ever gets lost. And even if you don't see it now, generations later, or even this time wasn't so long, but you will see that the act will pay itself back many, many times, and Mesiris Nefesh pays itself back. Re'u, have a look, look into this carefully. And that's why it says, Re'u, Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur. Your grandfather did a Maisa of Kiddush Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen that grandchild to be the one who's going to build the Mishkan. Now, if you look in the Medrash, there's
why,
a very...
Why not the father? Why the grandson? I mean, in the first case, the grandson, but why...
It always does. It always lists the whole...
No. Well, why is it that it was, Why it's done through the grandchild? I don't know. Now, the Medrash brings down Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Lashon of the Medrash is Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chayecho She'ani Poirea Lechem. Poirea Lechem. Poirea, it's a good translation, Poirea. I will pay up the debt. Kol B'nechon Megadle Mo'ilim Azeh. In other words, B'kitzah, in other words, you see from here, Poirea means I will pay up a debt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Chor, who died as it were, I promise you I'll be Poirea. There's a difference between Poirea and Tashlumin. If I go to a shop and I pay for something, that's tashlumin, that is a payment. Poireya is a much stronger level, which is a natural consequence of an occurrence that happened. If I borrowed money, there's a natural consequence that I have to pay back through the fact that I borrowed. A tashlum is a payment, a poireya, a piroin, is a consequence of what happened. If a person works on a building site, he deserves to be paid, that's tashlumin. But a consequence of his work will be that he will build his biceps and triceps and everything else. A consequence. Poirea, the Chazal say, is different to a tashlumin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Chor, you should know that I'm going to be poirea. Poirea means it's not just going to be a payment. I'm not just paying you. This, a natural consequence of Mesiris Nefesh, produces results. That is the way the fabric of the world has been created as such. That a Mesiris Nefesh creates results. We say, Mizmo Yishir, Chanukas Habayis Ledovid. Mizmo Yishir, Mizmor of the base of Chanukas Habayis, of the Chanukas Habayis of the base of Migdosh Ledovid. It wasn't David. Shlomo HaMelech built the base of Migdosh. What's Chanukas Habayis Ledovid? So Chazal say the Mesiras Nefesh that David HaMelech put in is called in his name. So the question is, it say Mizmei She'el the Mesiras Nefesh that David. No, Chanukah Sabayis that David means the whole house, the whole base of Migdosh is not a Mesiras Nefesh that ends there and you get Mesiras Nefesh and you don't have any connection. The base of Migdosh is built through the Mesiras Nefesh, and Mesiras Nefesh is such that that creates by definition results. It's not a Tashlumin, it's a Piroin. There's and the Mesiras Nefesh created. There's a beautiful story I saw by one of the books of Pesach Krohn. There was a businessman from Luzern, and you know the Yekkers, they children from the age of 3 or 4, they start wearing talesim, and it's a beautiful minhag that is done primarily in Yekkish shuls. And people who don't wear it, the kids who go to other shuls, you know, they nobody else wears it. They feel maybe a little bit awkward, a little bit different. You know, it's not so easy for them. One father sent his son, his older son, his 21 year old, on a business trip, and he sent him right across Switzerland in order to do a business deal for him. He was getting older, and the son left behind his talis, took his tefillin, took his sforim. He left behind his talis, and he went and he travelled, and he travelled and he travelled and he travelled. It took him 2 days to get where he needed to get to, and he was in his hotel room, and he was dealing with the negotiations of the deal. He gets knocked at the hotel room door. Who's there? It's his father. He says, what are you doing here? You don't trust me? He said, of course I trust you. I'm sure you did an excellent job. So what are you here for? You forgot something. The documents. What did I forget? Your talis. Gave him his talis. He said, it's a minhag. A minhag with Mesiras Nefesh, the minhag that's going to stay. And he gave him his talis and he traveled all the way back. The story goes that this young man's son went to Eretz Yisrael recently and bought talesim for all his grandchildren. something that is Mesiras Nefesh is going to stay. The Kosan Maravi is the only surviving wall because it was built with Mesiras Nefesh. The Aniyim built it with Mesiras Nefesh. Everything else can be destroyed. Something that was built Mesiras Nefesh cannot be destroyed. It's not possible. There's one story which is an amazing, amazing story. I don't know many people know this story, but I know it's firsthand. My father had a secretary in something called the East End Jewish Scholarship Center. It was a Kiruv institution in London. Now, when people came off the boats, he was involved, and he was makar of many, many people. He had a secretary called Sid Bornstein, a very loyal secretary that worked together for 40 years. Sid Bornstein was in the British Army when it was captured by Rommel. Rommel came and he asked individually the different soldiers what the names are. So he said to Anama, is that your name? He says, Name Sid Bornstein. Yuda? Are you Jewish? Ja, ich bin ein Yuda. He said, you're crazy. You can't do that. He wasn't religious. He says, what do you do this for? He says, I'm a Jew and I'm proud to be a Jew. If Rommel asked me, I'm not going to start hiding behind things, I'm a Jew. And nothing was done to him. You know, they were a little bit more careful with the British soldiers.
Rommel was a bit different than the others. He was really only a fighter. He wasn't a Nazi. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was actually... If it wouldn't have been for Hitler, he would have conquered this Palestine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he was sort of a gentleman. Sort of.
And he afterwards he was shocked by his reaction. Fine. Fast forward many, many years. My father went to the shiva. He was nifta. This Sid Bornstein was nifta. My father went to the shiva, and he had one child, and this child married a. He eventually became a Rosh Hashiva of London, in a big yeshiva in London. A Choshev Talmud Chacham. He has all his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, all very, very special people. Elech HaTamid HaChachamim. And he mamash from a pretty simple person who didn't know very much. He himself learned as much as he could, but he's got enormous Talmid HaChachamim. On his deathbed, his son-in-law said, Tzvi, said to my father, do you know what this means? He said something on his deathbed, Bornstein, ich bin ein Jude. He said something on his deathbed. Does that mean anything? So my father went white. He said, yeah, you don't know the story? He said, no, I don't know the story. And he told him the story. Sid told me the story years back that he was in Rommel. He said, this is the last moment of his life. He was Cheshbon Nefesh. Ich bin ein Jude. Bornstein, ich bin ein Jude. I'm Jewish. Mesiras Nefesh doesn't get lost. Mesiras Nefesh stays. And that is what builds. It's not a Tashuman, it's a Piroin. The Pasuk says, Ve'imola Oysa Ruach Hashem. V'lachshoiv machshovis lasois bezot v'kesev v'nechoishes. So let's see this pasuk carefully. Hashem filled him with ruach elokim b'chochma b'svana u'b'das, with wisdom and understanding. V'lachshoiv machshovis, and to work out machshavis lasois bezahav bekesav nechayshes. What does that mean? V'lachshoiv machshavis. What is lachshoiv machshavis that is not included in b'chochma u'svana u'b'das? He's got chochma, he's got svana u'b'das, and to do everything that's necessary. V'lachshoiv machshavis, and to make machshavis with zahav bekesav nechayshes. What does that mean? So it's a very beautiful story with Chaim Volozhin. Chaim Volozhin had the yeshiva, obviously the famous Volozhin yeshiva, and he used to send fundraisers to go all over to collect money for the yeshiva. And one mashulach came back to Reb Chaim, and he said, Reb Chaim, in order for me to be more successful, I need a company car. Or a company horse with a horse and carriage. I need to get to place, instead of me getting a balagola each time and negotiating, it would be more economical if I could have a company car, as it were. So Reb Chaim said, show me it's true. He proved it to him, and he said, fine, that's on fine. The next year, they're looking through the ledgers, and they saw there was one farmer who was a very generous person, gave a lot less money this year than he gave the previous years. So he said to him, what's all this about? So he said, well, I should pay for the horse's food. I should pay for this guy traveling around. My own children don't go have their own horse and cars, and I should pay for this guy's car. You know, I don't want it. So Chaim Volozhin said to him, you have to understand something. What's pshat in this pasuk when it says v'lachshiv machshavis? He said Bezalel was able to create with his hands an enormous chochma with his hands zav v'chesav v'nechoshes. That's one thing. V'lachshiv machshavis means, and he was able to identify the machshavis behind each piece of zav v'chesav v'nechoshes, to know how much mesiras nefesh went into each piece of gold and silver. And in order to pinpoint where that should go to. In other words, if a person gave gold with enormous serious nefesh, that made its way through Bezalel, he gave it to the Ohrim. If it was less serious nefesh, maybe it went to the Menorah. Less serious nefesh, it went further out. In other words, he was able to lachshei machshavis, to look into the machshavis of people, to identify where the Masiris Nefesh was, and therefore how far and with what that tool should be used in order to build the Mishkan. So Chaim Volozhin said to him, if you really meant the Shem Shemayim, your money would not be going towards a horse's food. Your money will be going to feeding the Rosh Hashiva, whatever it is, whatever is needed. But what we see from this parasha is firstly, Ru'u, a mice of Masiris Nefesh never ever ever gets lost. Sometimes we see in it, you get thankless tasks. You know, my father told me, whenever you're involved in communal matters, if you don't get a sock in the jaw, be very grateful. Yeah, that's what he said. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu had Memtesh Sharabino. And what did he say? Oid ma'at uskuluni, they're going to stone me soon. Moshe Rabbeinu, we're clever than Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mesiris Nefesh that people put in to building communities, people put in to building Moistas, people put in to be Mechanach, their children, working hard. And the Mesiris Nefesh never ever gets lost. It's not a payment. It's a piroin. It's a natural consequence. Dovid HaMelech, the Beis Midrash, called after him because he put the Mesiris Nefesh in. And the Mesiris Nefesh is something that HaKadosh Baruch identifies and uses all in the correct places. Chazak, chazak, v'nischazek.